This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a Shakespearean adventure, a two-step in good time on the dance floor, or an amazing musical parable, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. One of the Bard's earliest comedies comes to the stage as the New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane opens its season with The Two Gentlemen of Verona. Friendship and fidelity are explored in this comedy on young love set in contemporary times. Joining me are lead actresses Devon Tyler and Julia Delois. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you
so much for having us.
So nice.
You are taking us back to Shakespeare's early days with this work. Let's talk about how it's updated for today's audience.
This is Julia. We're certainly honoring the original text, so any Shakespeare nerds, any Shakespeare snobs will not be disappointed when they come to see the show. But the design is very modern, the costumes, the set, it's very hip, it's very fresh and new.
This is Devon. It's a very young story in and of itself, and we're exploring young love. What we're doing is living in a very present place of young, very passionate love and what that does to people.
So we start out with the two gentlemen. We have Proteus and Valentine, and Valentine is going off into the world. He's going off for his gap year, going out to explore the world and become a man. And Proteus is staying home because he's tied to his lovely girlfriend there, Julia, who's Devon is playing. And eventually Proteus decides to join Valentine. They're in Milan and they fall in love with the same girl. So Proteus ends up kind of betraying Julia. She's the brilliant one. She hatches this plan to follow him there in disguise so that she can be with him. So now they're all in Milan. It's a big old mess.
You have like the story of these four lovers and they're going through all of these things. And then you also have all the people surrounding them. Proteus has a very interesting relationship with his father. And you see like the camaraderie between him and Valentine and how that is abruptly stopped or how that becomes more difficult when his feelings for Sylvia, which is the character that Julia plays, his feelings for Sylvia gets in the way. It's an interesting saga. It travels through space and it travels through time, and it covers a lot of different bases of human emotion.
Friendship and fidelity are explored in many forms in this work. Let's start with your specific characters.
So I played Julia. She is a perfectionist, a young woman who has a plan all the time. So when we meet her at the top of the play, she's dealing with her feelings for Proteus, which is new. That's a very new thing for her to be able to admit. So throughout the play, we see how that drives her, how those feelings move her, and what she's able to do for them. She's young, she's in love, and she is determined. And one thing that I love about working with our director is she makes Julia dangerous. She gives Julia an edge and something to fight for. I love playing her very much.
And Sylvia, kind of at the top of the play, she's introduced as this celebrity, kind of socialite figure.
So fly.
Yeah. And then, of course, Proteus falls for her. And, you know, it would be kind of easy to dislike her. She's the girl that your boyfriend has a crush on. But she ends up being very down to earth. Friendship, in quotes, that kind of emerges between them is pretty special.
And what about the gentlemen?
We have Levi Hood and Kyle Woods, who are just lovely. They're such good friends also. So they have this kind of onstage chemistry already. Their characters, Proteus. What's the deal with Proteus? Is he a jerk? I mean, he is.
He's figuring it out. I think that you have two young men who are very young and who are really talking about love and relationships in front of you. And it's interesting to see them go back and forth on what they think love is and how they think love should be. Also, their relationships with the women are complicated. I think everything's a little nuanced. There's nothing that's just completely black and white.
At the top of the play, they're buddies. It's all this camaraderie. And then when they fall for the same girl, they're kind of competing against each other, interacting in new ways. And hopefully by the end of the play, they figure it out and come out stronger.
Now, while all this is going on, there is man's best friend who somewhat steals the show.
We have Brendan Bowen, who's a terrific actor, playing the role of Lance. And Lance, the character, has a pet dog named Crab. So, of course, we have a live dog in the show, which is just terrific fun, played by sweet Pippa, who is making her stage debut. Brendan always says that it doesn't matter what he says when he's out there because everybody's looking at the dog.
So what can we learn about human nature from this work that was written some 400 years ago that we can still apply to our lives today?
The play explores how sometimes love can triumph reason, and then in other instances, how reason can get in the way of love. Mm. And so you have this constant battle between logic and emotion that I think is completely relevant today and always will be. That lesson of just that battle, that struggle, that tension that's always there is something that I love on any level. I experienced that in my life, of course, and it's nice to be able to go through that in front of an audience and remind them of that. It's like we've all been there. It's like, you know, when you have that moment of my mind is getting in the way or my heart is getting in the way, and look at what it does to me. Look at that. And that's a moment of complete vulnerability and honesty that is so fun to explore, especially with this cast. So we've been having a really good time.
How did you get chosen for the role?
I auditioned. I was out of town, and I came in because I think another actor in my network put out something online that said that they were having auditions, and I hadn't done Shakespeare in a long time, and I love it, though, and I just wanted to audition because I wanted to be around people who love Shakespeare, too. That was all, and so I came in town and it all fell in from there. I was born and raised here. Katrina hit my first week of high school. My family evacuated to Houston and I ended up going to college in Manhattan. I had been gone for about 10 years. This will be my longest stretch back here in about 10 years. I live between here and New York.
You've been in some pretty big productions also.
I have. The New Orleans market has built me, and I'd be nothing without it. Over the past couple of years, I've been able to be a part of some really great films that were shot locally with wonderful local talent. Back in 2008, I worked on The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. And then in 2012, we shot 12 Years a Slave. And just last year, the new series on WGN America Underground came out. I had a role on that, which was fantastic.
Julia, what attracted you to the role?
I've worked for the Shakespeare Festival for a couple summers now. So when I found out that they were doing Two Gentlemen of Verona this summer, I was super excited. I went to Tulane and we did this production in 2012. And I actually played the role of Julia. So this was a total surprise to be playing Sylvia instead. It's been so exciting to be able to explore the other side of it. How are they similar and how are they different? How are they not that different at all, you know? And it's been such a treat to watch Devin play Julia because I just think she is terrifically talented. And her Julia is just, oh, she's so sweet. She's gutsy. Oh, I just love her.
That's another level that we get to bond on because she knows she's been through this role before, and so that it's comforting to have it, like it inspires safety and things because you know that if I look at her in rehearsal, you know, she'll say something and I'll look at her and I'll be like, you know exactly what I'm talking about, which is nice.
Actresses Devin Tyler and Julia Delois, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
The New Orleans Shakespeare Festival at Tulane presents The Two Gentlemen of Verona, opening Saturday with performances running through July 2nd in the Lupin Theater at Tulane University. More info online at neworleansshakespeare.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The 10th annual Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival kicks off this weekend with a star-studded lineup. Scott Ages with the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation joins us now to get you ready for a two-step in good time. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Hard to believe we're already at the 10th anniversary of the Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival.
It is hard to believe. It feels like just yesterday We were sweating like crazy at the first one. And we're getting ready to do it at the 10th.
So how are you celebrating this music that's indigenous to Louisiana?
We're just trying to refine what we've been doing. It's been a process over the years of learning what works and trying to make those things better. People really seem to enjoy it, and they do come from all over the place to attend and to dance. As you know, this event is presented by the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation, which is the nonprofit that owns the Jazz Fest. And our role is to use the money from Jazz Fest for programs that we do all year long, including 4 free festivals, of which the Cajun Zydeco is one. And all of the festivals that we do are like a little microcosm of Jazz Fest. So they all have essentially the same formula. There's great music, there's great food, there's great art. We also have kids' activities. And all of those things combined make for a really fun event. And this one in particular is different because there are so few events that are really just strictly dedicated to Cajun and Zydeco music in New Orleans.
What is Zydeco? What is Cajun? And how do you marry the two in this festival?
They're considered to be two distinct and separate genres now. But 100 years ago, they were very, very similar. And there was not nearly so much to distinguish them. They actually emerged in Southwest Louisiana right around the same time that jazz was emerging here in New Orleans. And it was music that came from a rural farming community who were entertaining themselves, just playing house parties so that folks could continue to dance and express their culture and create music and enjoy life. And nowadays, when we think of the distinctions between the music, we think of Cajun music as being the French side, which derives from the Acadian people who came down from Nova Scotia, from Canada, and that it is more of the folk music and is more considered to be part of the country music world. So it has fiddles, and a triangle is a percussion instrument, and the button accordion, the diatonic accordion, those are key elements of it. Zydeco music is considered to be the more African-American version of it, and it has a much more heavy bass and drums emphasis, and you'll find electric guitar generally, which you often don't see in Cajun music. It still has the accordion, but a lot of times they'll be playing the keyboard accordion, the kind that has like the piano keys on it, and the rubboard. They will be playing percussion, scratching on the rubboard, and it just has a much more driving, emphatic, rhythmic sound to it, and much more bass heavy. In the early days, 100 years ago, when these two styles were developing, there wasn't that racial divide. It were black and white people together, and the music really emerged from a very single strain. One of the fathers of Cajun music, a guy named Amadé Ardoin, was a Creole guy who was playing what we would consider today to be Cajun music. He was a fiddle player, and it didn't have that dichotomy that we think of now. So we really feel that the music comes from a single source, and there's very little that divides them, except maybe a little bit more of a bass drum. And so they go really, really well together, and we enjoy alternating between the two styles so that people can experience for themselves how much they are cut from the same cloth.
And that name, Zydeco, does it mean something?
Well, I don't really know why people were saying this, but there's a Cajun-French expression, les haricots sont pas salés, the snap beans ain't salty. Now, I don't know why that came up in conversation, but apparently that was a term that was thrown around, and les haricots, that is what sort of evolved into the word Zydeco that we use today. But why salty snap beans and emphatically rhythmic music were joined in the common mentality, I'm not entirely sure.
But it works.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's like onomatopoeia. It just sort of sounds like what it is. So it's good.
I understand you're opening this year's festival with a special tribute.
Yes, to the late Buzu Chavis, who, as many people will remember, was a regular performer in New Orleans and was really just a wonderful, wonderful progenitor of that style of Zydeco music that was popularized by Clifton Chenier. And we have 2 of his grandsons who both lead their own bands. One is R.J. Chavis, who leads Buzu's old band, the Dog Hill Stompers. And we also have another of his grandsons, Justin Chavis, who has his own band. So we thought it would be fun to kick off the festival with 2 descendants of Buzu playing that great Zydeco music.
Now, you have a stellar lineup.
What else is on tap?
Well, thank you. We try. We have another tribute this year to Boisec Ardoin, who was another early pioneer of Cajun and Zydeco music, who was a brother of Amadei Ardoin, and he has two grandsons who are performers and band leaders as well. We have Chris Ardoin, who is one of the most popular performers out in Southwest Louisiana. And then we have his brother, Sean Ardoin. So we have Steve Riley and the Mamou Playboys. Dwayne Dupsey is one of our favorite performers. He is a son of the late Rockin' Dupsey, brother of Rockin' Dupsey Jr., who some of your listeners may be familiar with. And Dwayne is just a ball of fire. I'm trying to think of who else we have this year.
Nathan and the Zydeco Cha-Chas.
Yes, we love them. Very energetic on stage, really engages with the crowd. Folks love them.
How does one dance to this music?
There is a tip that I was given years ago. Pretend that you have a thumbtack in your left heel and don't dance on that because it'll hurt. Just keep on the ball of your left foot and just dance regularly with your right. If you try that, you just bounce off your toe or the ball of your foot in your left foot and just sort of pivot around that with your right foot and you'll be fine.
Pretty good advice. Now, you can't have a festival in New Orleans without food. What's being offered?
Folks who are really attuned to Cajun cuisine will be excited about the smothered rabbit po' boy that we have this year. We'll also have lots of oysters, charbroiled oysters and oysters on the half shell, hot boiled crawfish, Cajun meat pies, crawfish nachos, lots of boudin, of course, two or three different takes on catfish. Also lots of great desserts this year, fresh juice snowballs, also gourmet frozen popsicles.
And you also have a little art market?
This year we have about 25 vendors, all of whom are local artisans who make all of their wares by hand. So photography, painting, ceramics, those type of things, and others are wearable art.
So in the end, what's the best way to pass a good time at the Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival?
Just come on down, share it.
Scott Ages with the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
The Louisiana Cajun Zydeco Festival kicks off this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, from 11:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. in Armstrong Park, 701 North Rampart Street. More info at CajunZydecoFest.com. An Old Testament story comes to life as Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane opens its season with the musical parable Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's operetta is based on the Bible story of Joseph's coat of many colors from the book of Genesis. Joining me is director Diane Lala and Frankie Thames, who is singing the role of Joseph. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
This is a musical that has been popular with audiences since its humble beginnings back in the 1960s, when I believe it was a short work performed for school children. What attracted you to this production?
Joseph is such a great show. It's got a great storyline that basically talks of forgiveness, and it's wonderful for children. The show goes from pop to rock, Elvis-inspired rock, country and western, calypso. It sort of runs the gamut. And it's a simple story told at a pretty fast pace.
Frankie, this is your debut with Summer Lyric Theater. What are your thoughts as you step into the leading role as Joseph?
I'm excited. I'm very excited. Joseph is a very interesting role. Andrew Lloyd Webber, the music is beautiful. And Diane, of course, is an amazing director. And I'm so happy to work with her again.
Frankie is actually one of my students up at the University of Cincinnati at the College Conservatory of Music. He's a musical theater major. He just completed his first year. The Tulane auditions are sort of nationwide, and he submitted an audition tape. And as we were casting, you know, I thought that Frankie would be the right guy for the job.
What is the storyline?
It's a story of Joseph, who is one of Jacob's 12 sons. And Joseph has the ability to sort of tell the future through his dreams. He is also Jacob's favorite son, and Jacob gives him a coat of many colors. And that's sort of the last straw for the brothers. They are very jealous of him, and they decide to get rid of him. So they sort of sell him to a group of Ishmaelites, And through a numerous series of adventures, Joseph ends up in Egypt, where the Pharaoh is having troubling dreams. And he finds out that Joseph can help interpret the dreams. So Joseph basically becomes the Pharaoh's right-hand man. Now, meanwhile, back in Cana, the brothers are hungry, starving. They have nothing. They hear that there is food in Egypt. So they decide to travel to Egypt, where they actually come into contact with Joseph begging for food, not realizing it's him. So Joseph does sort of a test of the brothers' integrity. And after that, he reveals himself to them and they forgive and they reconcile.
What is going to be your signature on this production?
It's a very colorful production. The set is great, designed by Rick Paul. The show is constantly moving. It's through sung and it's pretty much through danced, if not danced, moved. So there's always action on the stage. This is one of those shows where it's very ensemble heavy. The ensemble is on stage almost all the time, dancing and singing and telling the story. We also have with us a cast of 22 children, and these kids are amazing.
What are some of the big numbers that will be sung?
The country and western number called One More Angel. The most famous song, I would guess, is Close Every Door that Joseph sings.
And that comes in the show when basically his brothers sell him off to the Ishmaelites. And then he gets purchased by a man named Potiphar. He's kind of royalty in Egypt. He owns a lot of the pyramids and he's very, very wealthy. And Joseph, being Joseph, of course, climbs his way to the top and he becomes Potiphar's favorite slave. But then Potiphar finds him messing around with his wife, which Joseph doesn't consent, but it ends up happening anyways. He basically gets put in jail for life, and Potiphar tells him that he's going to lock him away there forever. And that's kind of the low point of the show for Joseph. And then he comes out and he sings this big number called Close Every Door, where he's in this awful place, but he still has hope.
And of course, we're taken through the story by a narrator who's played by Jessica Mixon, and she is just dynamite.
What would you say is the takeaway from this biblical story?
I think the idea of forgiveness. Hopefully that'll reverberate with the kids.
I hope that audiences will realize that when you're given a gift, you can't neglect it. If God has blessed you with that, then you need to use it for the betterment of the world.
Director, choreographer Diane Lala and Frankie Tams singing in the role of Joseph. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Summer Lyric Theater at Tulane presents Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, opening Thursday with performances running through Sunday in Tulane's Dixon Hall. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.